I'm Carrie Adams, and you're listening to Carrie's Connoisseurs, coming to you from Solid Gold Podcasts. Here we talk to the movers and shakers, the drinkers, the dreamers, and all the people who make it happen in the liquor and luxury industries from around the world. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another podcast for Carrie's Connoisseurs. Today, it's one of my favorite podcasts of the year because I've got my darling Jeremy Sampson in the studio with me. And we were trying to remember how many years we've been doing this for.
But we're of the sort of age we can't remember.
Speak for yourself. Jeremy Sampson is still the chairman of Brand Finance South Africa. He said I could call him anything I liked because at this stage of the game, we can be anything we like, can't we?
Why not?
But more than that, he just is my and many people's go-to when it comes to branding. He is our brand guru in South Africa and really across the world. He's got an impressive resume, but you all know that, so we don't need to go into that. We're chatting today like we do every year and have done for, I think, I don't know, 15, 20 years, I can't remember, long time, about that was the year that was. Who had that program in Britain?
David Frost.
Was it David Frost?
David Frost, yeah.
This was the year that was, but this was the wine year that was. It was the year and the things that we tasted, that we loved to taste, that we found nice, that we think we should pass on to you. And just a general catch-up for everybody from a branding and from a, I suppose, from an importance of wine industry perspective. Sometimes we get carried away with the beauty of the winelands and we forget to salute just what the Cape Winelands actually bring to South Africa. So we'll cover all of those things. We're famous for swishing, sashaying from one subject to another in the flesh. But we'll try to keep it as coherent as possible. We'll give you our tips for the year, what we're going to be drinking for Christmas, what we're going to be eating for Christmas as well. And once again, let me talk less. And Jeremy Sampson is here to talk more. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Always a privilege, and thank you for having me again.
Always. Love it. Jim, what have you been up to this year?
I think most people are agreeing it's been another tough year. And in many ways, we've seen a world increasingly, I hope not, but sleepwalking almost towards another Third World War. And it's very stressful out there. Mm. I know a lot of people in South Africa are still trying to recover from COVID. You know, to be blunt, you know, a lot of people were knocked down by it. And they're struggling to get back up. I think generally, though, there is an air, just a little bit of an air of optimism in South Africa. You know, we had a general election. The result wasn't decisive. But as a result of that coalition, I think some people, and I saw only this morning one of the top business ladies in the country saying she's optimistic. And I think this is where we've had difficult times, and they go back quite a long way. Mm. Hopefully now, 2025 is going to be a fantastic year. But I still think we've got a lot to celebrate.
We've got lots to celebrate.
Yes,
always.
We've got to be positive as well.
You know, it's sort of, I'm one of those glass half full, glass half empty people, always have been. And if you choose to be gloomy, there's lots to be gloomy about. But, and yes, I think COVID was a massive, massive blow, specifically, particularly to our wine industry in South Africa because the government closed us down for most of the year, if you remember.
And the government is still challenging the industry.
Instead of lifting, helping, getting underneath our wings and helping us to soar, it's an ongoing, endless battle because I think that the wine industry, well, the liquor industry, largely in the world, not only South Africa, is deemed to be the playground of the rich and famous. And there seems to be this terrible, desperate need at the moment for you're not allowed to be rich or famous. Or you can be rich and famous and stupid, but you can't be rich and famous and clever. So if you're rich and famous and clever, you have to have your wealth taken away from you. And that's what's happening in the wine industry. I mean, the people who are literally pouring lifetimes of family monies and legacies and intellect and time and effort, they're being taxed to hell and gone on it.
Well, it's such a convenient, it's such a convenient income stream for a government.
I know.
You know, it's a steady flow. and they get used to it as government and SARS, Mr. Kieswetter, and they keep on tightening the screw.
Talk about
not realizing,
killing the golden goose.
Exactly. You know, you talk about paring down the fat. Well, they're paring down the muscle, and we're going to be
and
down
the
to
feathers and everything.
And the bare bones are going to be there soon, and then they're going to say, oh dear, what happened?
What happened?
And it's their fault.
I know it is. I think that there's only a certain amount of taxing of the rich, you know, this Robin Hood sort of thing. It's been taken a little bit too far for me. I'm all for helping everybody wherever we can. But I'm also of the opinion that if you continually help people who can actually help themselves by way of education, which is a whole lot more important than just simply taxing, you know, Mr. Newby, who happens to have made a successful business, Mr. Samson, who happens to have become a world, you know, guru, you can't penalize those same people all the time.
Well, you have to have carrot and stick.
Mm.
You have to have a balance. And, you know, I've heard that as a result of COVID, in many, many ways, businesses, as you say, closed down. I remember talking to someone who runs a wonderful estate out near Kruger Park, so visitors come from overseas. And he was telling me in the middle of COVID that he'd taken bookings 2 years earlier. He had the deposits in the bank. Now, these people were coming back, but like 2 years in the front.
At 20% more.
Exactly.
And couldn't ask for more money.
And he had to honor that, and he couldn't. And it's only when you talk to people like that that you begin to understand the nuances and the impact.
No, the knock-on was massive.
And he said, it'll take me 2 or 3 years, if I'm still standing, to get through that.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, when we see about the wine estates, estate is too posh a word for some of them. They're small farmers. And when you hear of, 80% either not making a profit or in loss and breaking, 80%. And now that figure is going to go up the more they're threatened, and depending on the weather.
Mm.
Because if you're a farmer, and thank God I'm not one, you're reliant on the weather in so many ways.
It's a wonderful lifestyle, but you're a farmer.
Mm.
Dare I even open this can of worms? I suppose I shouldn't because it's a wine show, but everybody who knows me knows my feeling on the American political scenario. And I'm so optimistic that half of the bullshit is going to be blown out of the American White House. I do hope so, because I think that that's been the seat of a lot of this nonsense that we're going through in the world at the moment.
Well, you're touching a nerve with me because
is it a good or a bad one?
In this week, our dear president has announced a top team of advisors for the G20 coming up in November next year. He's appointed 19 people, and no disrespect, and I stress no disrespect, 15 of them are professors. Now, I'm sorry, if you
are our president, being Cyril Ramaphosa.
Our president, and he's appointed a team of 19, and 15 are professors. Now, the theme is growth. If you want growth, where do you go? You go to Capitec Bank, you go to ShopRite, you go to Discovery, you go to Signia, you go to these companies, you go to the private sector. There is no one from the private sector on that team.
And we love the professors, we do. But academia
I'm a visiting professor, so yes.
Academia never. I spent a lot of time studying, but academia never made anybody any money, did it?
Well, someone
said it does, but inadvertently.
Someone asked, how many professors does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is, it'll take forever because they can't decide if it's broken.
I don't know where it is. I don't know which cupboard their wife put it in. I know. I suppose it's very easy for people like you and me to sit here and pass judgment and what have you. But I do think that there's a big call, and specifically in my industry, as with every industry, quite frankly, the pendulum swung so far left that the person who sort of released the string, it's going to go and smash so far right before it actually settle somewhere in the middle again.
Well, you mentioned Donald Trump, and there are a lot of things.
I have to say, I love him. I make myself wildly unpopular by doing it, but he's sane, for goodness sake.
Well, there are lots of things I don't like about him. But he's appointing people who are pragmatic business people. As you say, get rid of the bull dust out of the place and get real. And he's doing this. You know, you don't think, oh, we'll warble on and think about it in a year or two years. He's not even in power. He only takes power from the 20th of January. He's running the country.
You know,
from the Middle East, they're talking to him. From Moscow, they're talking to him. And we've got a total lame duck institution in the White House for the next nearly 2 months.
I know. The scary part is what might be passed through the White House in the meantime. But I suppose there's nothing that's not irreversible.
And that happens every four
years.
Always.
Well, let's all just hope to goodness that people drop personal politics, i.e. would you invite Donald Trump to dinner? Most people probably wouldn't. Is Donald Trump a narcissist? Most people say he is, but that's a stupid word that most people don't really know the meaning of. Is he a bigot? Whatever you think he is personally, his policies work. And I think that his next term of office is going to be good for the whole world.
And he's got so many clever people around
him. He has,
him,
I think.
Which is the big change from 8 years ago.
100%.
Where he didn't expect to be president.
Yes.
Whereas now he's had a chance to plan.
He's had time to sort it all out. Well, let's hope, please God, from our lips to God's ears, that we get back to that middle road. And that they always said, I don't know, when they sneezed, the rest of the world caught a cold. I hope that it's America, because it is a force to be reckoned with. Mm. It's a massive powerhouse. Mm. We cannot afford to alienate them. We cannot afford for them to go down the tubes.
But I hope you say that more loudly, because South Africa still seems to think
they can tweak
the tail of America by talking to other people openly.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, in politics, often a lot of things should stay in the shadows.
Even in the wine industry, a lot stays in the shadows. Well, let's hope that it's all positive for 2025. I really, really do. We all need a break, no matter who we are. Rich, poor, white, black, green, colored, yellow. I don't care who we are. We all need a break.
I don't care.
We don't care. We're sick of all of that. We need a break. We're going to move on to having settled the affairs of the world. Jeremy and I are going to lunch later. We'll carry on that conversation where we're not going to be slammed in jail for our policies.
Cheers.
Jem, what did you drink this year that you absolutely loved?
I absolutely love South African wine because the value for money for what we get is absolutely incredible. And you know, I've been lucky this year. I've been on a couple of overseas trips. I was in London for a week, but then I went to the States and I was in New York and down to Nashville and down to Austin, which was amazing. And just looking at the prices of things, and I know we're talking in rands, which is crazy, but we should
have a currency that we're proud to talk about, not one that we're desperately scared of.
And that's why South African brands, in general, are incredibly cheap in global terms. And, you know, when you actually look at all South African brands, they're incredibly cheap. That's where their values are so low. And this is where I'm surprised there aren't more takeovers. And probably there aren't more takeovers and more inward investment, because people know that dealing with people like the Competition Board and people, as Heineken found, can be an absolute disaster. No, the Competition Board said to Heineken, jump higher, jump higher, jump higher.
But it's the same over-regulation of everything, isn't it?
Yes, and Heineken have now had to write off billions of rands from that deal, and that leaves a sour taste. We've got other deals going on, you know, at the moment in fiber and those sort of areas, where the Competition Board is intruding into inward investment. And, you know, this is where we need inward investment. We need to create jobs. The economy must improve. And then everyone in the beverage industry will benefit.
They will. I think that we need to pass a legislation that bans government from having anything to do with brand South Africa.
Well, it's interesting that this day we're recording, there is a hearing on the future of the Springbok brand and South African rugby.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me they're going to change that.
The government has intruded into it. Now, in some sports, the world body says, if your local politicians get involved, we'll cut you off. local politicians should not intrude into the affairs, the global affairs. And that's what is going on here again. No, the government needs to realize it has to stay in its lane. And that lane should be to create a better South Africa for all of us, not just the MPs and
agents. But the Springbok thing came up once before, didn't it? I mean, it's not the first time it's been done. If you consider the unbelievable unifier that the Springbok rugby team has been this year for the country that is flailing about at the moment, the one single common denominator that brought us all into a happier space was South African rugby.
Well, I've had the privilege of the last 3 weeks of being a judge again of the Sports Industry Awards. And we had the function two nights ago giving out those awards. And we almost said, there's too much rugby, too much Springboks, because they've done a fantastic job, as you say.
Rassie should be the president of the country, don't you?
Khaleesi and Rassie together
are incredible. Yeah, they should be the president and the vice president.
But when you get no mention of Titania Smith, who won a gold and then another gold 4 years ago, I'm saying the pendulum has swung too far. There's too much. No, and where are the other sports? No, this is meant to be a soccer mad country. But at the moment, it's rugby, 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 and not too much else.
No. Well, it's that same thing, isn't it? It's that middle road. May 2025, bring us all back to that middle road. That's where we all want to be, in the middle lane. We're not going too fast. We're not going too slowly. We're not breaking the rules.
No, you just got to keep that balance.
Let's do that. What did you drink that you loved? Stop being so political. I'm going to get into trouble for it.
Me being political?
Never.
I have tried to be a bit more adventurous.
Are we talking about wine, Jeremy?
We're talking about being cost-effective.
Okay.
As we're speaking at the moment with temperatures of 33, 34.
Oh, it's so hot.
And, you know, and this is where often someone says, well, can you bring the bucket of ice? And the ice goes in the wine.
Oh, my gosh. We don't want that.
And we don't want that. So then, you know, as I learned in Bordeaux, as I've told you many times, what you do is get a big block of ice, put it in the wine, and after 3 minutes, throw it away.
Absolutely.
Take the temperature. Exactly. So I've been also watching the budget. At my stage in life, I'm having to be looking to the future and looking at all those things. And I think, and you're an expert in the retail field, the price points. Is it 100, under 100 or under 150? I know with Tim Atkin, it was 150, I think, to three to, I don't know, eight, and then luxury. But what's affordable, perhaps, for under 100 rand? Now, you probably don't drink much under 100 rand.
You know, you'd be surprised. I do. I'll tell you straight up that if I've got loads of people coming to my house for lunch, dinner, whatever it is, and it's a bit tricky, you know, it's a bit like somebody coming to Carrie's house expects to have like only the very best wines, and I do have good wines in my home. But there are a lot of affordable good wines. For example, if you go to Woolworths, Donnie De Wet has put he's put that Limestone Hill Chardonnay into a 2 liter box or 2.5 liter box or something. It's very reasonably priced. Mm. The wine is delicious.
Limestone has been one of my favorites. One of my daughters got married at Swellendam, and 2 days before we went to De Wetshof. I'm trying to remember the name of their delightful marketing guy, but he gave us a personal tasting.
Who? Emil?
Was it Emil at De Wetshof?
It's Emil Joubert. He's a gorgeous boy.
And we had a fantastic time there. And the wines, as you say. And in fact, I went into Woolworths for Black Friday and bought some limestone.
Oh, did you?
Yes, because they were selling, I think, three for two or something.
That's fabulous. Ken Forrester makes some really, really affordable wines. Bon Courage have got a cheap and cheerful little Sauvignon Blanc called Gooseberry Bush or whatever it is. Gooseberry juice, I don't know, hooligan juice. I don't know what it's called. It's really nice. It's under 100 rand.
Your friend Alvi of Alvi's Drift.
Alvi. And we all need to have 3 cheers for Alvi. He's not well at the moment. We need to wish him better.
We'll wish him, yes.
Alvi and Janelle have unbelievable value for money on the shelves everywhere, and they've done a marketing job. My darling four cousins, even them, they've got sort of Goldilocks wine. They've got small, medium, you know, sort of soft, medium, and hard. And in every single cultivar that you can at Van Leeuwen.
So they've got a range.
Yeah.
And that's important as well.
They have. So there is wine under 100 rand that everybody can have and everybody can enjoy, and it's good value. Mm. And I think that if you're spending between 75 and 150 rand on a bottle of white wine, you're definitely going to go home with something nice.
Well, things like A.A. Badenhorst Secateurs, like the Molyneux Kloof Street.
Yeah.
No, these sort of wines and they're the so-called second labels.
Yes,
they are creeping up.
They're creeping up a bit, but you see, I think it's because there's so little assistance from government for these farmers that they – and that leads us to another thing that we'll have to have a separate program on, because I want to bring back the cooperatives. I think we need to bring back cooperatives to make a big, successful South African wine company. Every other
we
wine
need
produced.
Volume.
Yeah.
We need volume.
We do. So that will do. So we're doing inexpensive or good value for money wines, and we're telling everybody what to buy for Christmas. So you are – what are you having for Christmas? Are you here for Christmas?
We're here for Christmas, and for the first time in 4 years, well, the first time ever almost, the entire family, Samson family, is coming. So
wonderful.
From London – and that's two grandchildren, you know, both under the age of four.
Ooh.
And then from Cape Town.
Have you got lots of Valium in the Mooty cupboard?
I think you're leaving home.
But three, I've got a cottage that you can come to.
Don't tell anyone. And then we've got three grandchildren coming. And so for the first time, in fact, some grandchildren will be meeting each other.
Okay.
So we'll have 13 adults around the table on Christmas Eve.
Wonderful.
And my dear wife, you know, is already working out that we'll have, and I can't tell anyone other than you, that we'll be having salmon or something like that to start. We'll
yes.
be having turkey and probably some fillet as the main. And
gorgeous.
No planning that.
Nice
and
stuff.
Then
I think
I'll put together some nice wines, because I think I've got a very big bottle of Canon Cop, which I thought might be just about
I
right.
I think it might be nice with a fillet. A
I
roasted
think it might.
Fillet maybe.
And then what would you put with the turkey? There's always that argument.
So let me tell you, I had a couple of favorite wines this year. And I wrote them down during the course of the year, and I had to go rambling around to find them, because it always comes in, and I like to give it some thought so that people really know what I like. There are a couple of wines that everybody needs to know about. Wine that I have screamed about from the rooftops for many, many years is Knorhoek. I absolutely love Knorhoek. There were two brothers. The one was called Hansie. I can't remember what the other one was called. But they were gorgeous boys. They owned Knorhoek, and it was a family farm that had been owned by their family for sort of four generations or something. And they made, I don't know if you remember, a label called Two Cubs.
I don't know.
And
that.
They made a Two Cubs Chenin and a Two Cubs Cabernet.
Lovely.
And they, in those days, Solly and I used to buy blooming pallet loads of the stuff. It was so cheap and cheerful and really well made. And, you know, the heart of Stellenbosch, really, really good terroir, making fab wine for the right price. Anyway, Knorhoek was subsequently bought by the guy who bought, help me, Coinrock.
Ah,
so Knorhoek,
after all the drama.
After the drama, Knorhoek was bought because he's from the Ukraine. He's a really nice guy. So there is a servitude that goes through Coinrock to get to Knorhoek.
I've driven that road because Marathi's there as
well. That's it. Yeah. And I think he decided, I don't know, this might just be in my own head, but I think he decided that he was going to, he didn't want people going through his farm. Blah, 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 blah. So he bought Coinrock, as Knorhoek, as you do, you know.
Yeah,
just, you just buy the next door neighbor if you don't like the driveway. Anyway, he bought it, and he's got a very smart team of winemakers and viticulturalists at both farms. And whilst the Two Cubs brand was kept by the brothers who owned it originally, Dennis Gydek, who is the owner of Coinrock, has kept the Chenin and the Cab, but under the label of just Knorhoek.
Yes.
It is so delicious. It's one medals all over the world, all year. It really has. It's not just me who thinks it's gorgeous. It's not wildly expensive, but it's not cheap. It's in that sort of 150 to 250 odd mark.
It's a nice level to be at.
It's such a class act. I have to tell you that Knorr-Hook Cabernet with, no, not with your turkey, Knorr-Hook Chenin Blanc. The Chenin Blanc comes from an old vines, part of that old vines project.
Yes.
And is being made by Peter at Knorr-Hook. It's just delicious. It's really what you want Chenin Blanc to be. It's got some oak on it. It's not sweet, but it's fruitful. It's powerfully fruitful.
But white, I still prefer, as you remember, Chenin Blanc.
I know you love Chenin.
I find, you know, some of the others too acidy, and the Chenins, there's such a range there as well.
And Jim, you know, being Mr. Brand South Africa, South Africa is only one of two countries that really produce super smart Chenin Blanc. And the Loire is one, and South Africa is the other.
Yeah.
We should be shouting from the rooftops about our Chenin Blanc.
Well, that's another point. Why aren't we shouting South African wines?
Yeah, no, we should be. So we're going to do lots more of that next year. So those are two of my favorite wines from the year. Then I also loved, Richard Hawkins, Restless River.
Ah, Restless River, yes.
Restless River. Gorgeous. Is his name Richard? Why am I calling him Richard?
But isn't it Christo
Craig.
Visa?
Craig, his name's Craig.
Doesn't Christo Visa own it ultimately and Craig runs it?
No.
No, wrong.
Not
okay,
that
so
I know of.
Restless River, okay.
So Restless River, the owner and his wife, Craig, they are the loveliest people. And I love drinking wine from people who are nice because I believe, like cooking, if you cook with love and you've got a love in your heart, you make gorgeous food. Same with wine.
Mm.
And Craig has been super uber, super smart. He was like you. He was a brand. He was a PR man. He was a Mr. PR South Africa sort of thing.
Yep.
Amazingly successful business. He and his wife were meandering around in the Hermanus region, I think about 12 years ago or so, found this property, couldn't really afford it, sold up everything that they had, bought it, and he is just making
now, where
the best
is it?
Wine.
Where is it? Is it Hemel and Hard in Hermanus or it's, where
it's
like?
It's Hemel and Arda. And not having been to the farm myself, I can't tell you exactly where it is.
Is that valley, the people it's up just, there, are, it's incredible
no,
area.
No, the vineyard is gorgeous and they're lovely. They're making this beautiful wine. It's precision-made stuff. It's intelligent wine. It's been made with intellect and love. Hmm. And it's a nice combo in a bottle. So they had a Chardonnay called Ave Maria, which is in deference to their daughter, which costs lots of money and not for everybody to afford, but super smart. So then they decided that they would make an affordable Chardonnay as well, and the launch of which I went to a couple of months ago, and I'm in love with it. So go and look for Restless River. It just says Chardonnay on the label. It doesn't say Ave Maria, and it's not Ave Maria. It's Ave Maria. So he's made it just a straight Chardonnay, which is it's everything you want Chardonnay to be.
No, I didn't know that they were there, and I have to say, to me, that is the best valley in the world.
Jeremy.
When you start at the bottom with the Newton Thompson is
the
top, Bouchard Finlayson, Hamilton Russell, Ataraxia is
Creation.
There, Creation's up at the far, Storm is there. It's an incredible area.
Absolutely gorgeous stuff. So Restless River Chardonnay, it's not the Ave Maria, which if you can afford it, buy as much as you can. If you can't buy the ordinary, it's delicious. Then something I know that you would love that I think we should tell everybody to buy or look for, and it's actually in Checkers, if you can find it, is the KWV Grenache Blanc.
Oh, absolutely.
Shouldn't we tell them about that? Tell them. You, Mr. KWV.
Well, the prices from KWV remain absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
No, and from, I think you can only get the Grenache Blanc if you order direct. And for some reason, I was made an ambassador a few years ago.
So I can get them.
No, so I can get Grenache
Blanc. If you need Grenache Blanc, phone Jeremy Sampson. He has an allocation.
And then the other one that I often get from there is the Labarie Cab Merlot blend, which is absolutely classic.
But and the prices are so reasonable.
And then you get up to Tawny Ports, which are – and where all these things we're talking about are under 100.
I know.
You can get the first bubbles for about 140 upwards. The prices are ridiculous.
KWV – Bang for your buck is my farm of the year.
Yep.
Do we agree on that?
Absolutely. And they have a man now managing it, the whole thing, who comes from a Red Bull background. So he's got lots of energy and lots of...
And if I smell Red Bull on one of those bottles of wine, he's going to be fired. Then I have to tell you that, not because I'm involved personally, but you know I chair the judging panel for Diners Club Winemaker of the Year every year. And I was thrilled with the result this year. The person who won the Winemaker of the Year award is Kiara Scott James. Farmer. Kiara Scott Farmer, I think her name is. She is the winemaker at Brookdale.
Now, where is Brookdale?
And she made a Chenin Blanc that you honestly would absolutely love.
Mm.
It's beautiful. I don't know
how. You can give her my address, please.
I'll give her your address. So if you find a Brookdale Chenin Blanc anywhere on the shelves, buy it. It's completely delicious.
So it is freely available?
It should be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 2022. I don't think it's hugely cheap, but it is hugely delicious, and that could definitely make any turkey taste sexy. Definitely.
Thank you for that.
Because turkey can be a bit plain.
Well, that's where I like the bread sauce and the stuffing, and you know, you've got to, as you say, zoot it up.
Unless you dress it up, it's not going to be asked to dance.
But you see, what you're illustrating is that people don't know.
They don't know.
They should pick up the phone to you.
they should pick up the phone.
No, but you know, this is where you have these subtleties.
So all of this, I told you, my Gen Z era, if it's not happening on the screen, it's not happening, guys. It's not real unless it's on the screen. It's a lot of nonsense. Pick up the phone. We can talk. We can have fun. I can WhatsApp you too if you want me to, but it lacks, you know, it's lacking. Then if we are to speak about pure gemoedelijkheid.
Pure what?
Gemoedelijkheid in Afrikaans, it's like geus. In English, it's like... nicety. Gemoedelijkheid in Yiddish is just, it sounds nice. You know what gemoedelijkheid is? Lekker. Lekker heet. Natie Jankelowitz and his little Backo farm.
Who you've interviewed on one of your earlier podcasts.
And I love what he's done. Mm. He's the most gorgeous bear of a man. Honestly, he's a quantity surveyor, not a winemaker, but he had this dream in his heart and his head. And like I always say, I hate people who keep telling me they're passionate about their job. You're not passionate about your job. You're passionate about your lover. You love your job, and you're passionate about your lover. Natie loves his job, which is a quantity surveyor, but he loved wine more. And he honestly made it his life mission to buy a property and turn it into the cutest, most beautiful little farm that any of us have ever seen. He's making such nice wine. It's called Backo. And you know what he makes?
Sorry, and where is it?
I never know if it's Paarl. I think it's like Paarl, on the edge of Paarl, but Paarl's like a swear word in the wine lands. It's next door to Villafonte. And over the hill from Fairview and Babylon Sturin, sort of. Yep. You know where I'm talking?
I know exactly where you are. Because you see, as you know, every few years, we would just
do a
wine meander, and we'd go around, and we'd look, and we'd try and stay. So in the past, stayed at Paul Kluver.
Well, when you and Sharon go again, I'm making a plan for you to go and stay and spend some time with Natie.
Backo.
Honestly, it's just a beautiful place to go, but you know what he's made? Which is close to my heart, as you know. He's made, pardon me, a Vermentino. So, guys, Vermentino is just such a lovely white grape variety. And it could also make your turkey pretty. You could drink that turkey pretty on Vermentino.
But most of your listeners won't know what Vermentino is.
No.
And surely what you're illustrating is these new cultivars that have been brought in as things heat up. And a lot of these Mediterranean, Italian, whatever.
And they're doing so well.
And they take time to come to fruition, but now it's starting to happen.
Well, Vermentino is a grape that sort of, it's obviously an Italian grape, and it is very present in most of those carafes of white wine that you'll get when you're sitting along the Amalfi Coast, looking and looking at the gorgeous view. And
Gatto le Soranese.
So That's what Vermentino is. And if it's well made, it's delicious. If it's it's that little girl with a curl. When she's horrible, she's nasty. But Vermentino is delicious. So Bacco make a Vermentino, which I highly recommend. And they make a red blend called Prelude.
And are these available in
Gauteng? They're available. They're available at Norman Goodfellow's. You can buy them. I don't know where else Natie's got them, but you can phone me. I'll get them for you direct if you want to. They are beautiful ones. So that is my farm of the year. But then you know me, I'm a Libra, and I've got 10 others if you like them.
But I think, you know, thinking about coming and talking again and looking back to what we've talked about in the past and then thinking there are so many. So many wonderful ones, and I was trying to remember one in Franschhoek, and I couldn't remember the name of those couple who run it. And it's
Holden Manns.
And again, I had a daughter who was married there.
Yes.
And just they were so wonderful people.
And they're making they looked gorgeous after wine. Us. That's Thierry Haberer.
And just the whole area, and you know, not just for weddings, but although it's a wonderful sight, being you know having actually a service sitting amongst the vines, but then tasting all the wines and going through them. So someone like a Holden Manns, you know, you were talking.
Well, did you see that his Merlot Reserve got some special award in Plata?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's the best Merlot.
I haven't looked at Plata this
year. I haven't
so
had time.
That's
I've got
on my
it
Christmas
here.
List.
Yeah, we must have a look at it and, yes, and yeah. do a little bit of a dissection.
But their wines are stunning.
Yeah.
You were talking on an earlier program also about bubbles and the cork and clipping it on. And if you go to Holden Manns, you go past La Lude. And La Lude used to do it. I don't know if they still do.
Well, they've had a little bit of a rocky time with personnel.
Oh, have they?
Lots of winemakers in and out. I'm not sure what the status quo is at La Lude.
Wasn't
at the Clermont moment.
Was next door? Or
yeah.
Is it Clermont?
Yes. La Lude were making some lovely bubbles. It was, again, I need to go back, and everybody's going to think I'm being paid by him, but I'm not actually. Coin Rock have just released a thing called Festive, which is a bubbly, an MCC, and I went to the launch last week. It was just delicious, and it's fun. The label's called Festive. It's great for Christmas. Have a bottle of Festive on your table.
I had a time when I was down for a week in Cape Town on business, and I had a gap one day. And the lady who runs Woza, I'd worked with her at Distel, and she and I had breakfast. And I said, where should I go today? Literally, where should I go? And she said, well, have you been to da-da-da-da? Yes, no, no, no. And she said, right, you drive up this motorway as though you're going to Paarl, and then you take a right, and that's Kanonkop. And then you drive all the way across there, and at the other side by False Bay, you'll get to Meerlust. And along the way, and she rattled off, and I'd been to some, but most of them I hadn't. And so that day, I actually went into about 10 estates.
Oh, did you? Good. And it's quite nice every now and again to update
lovely.
Yourself.
And Coin Rock I went into,
oh,
which was
you?
Then closed at the time.
Yes.
And they actually, and it was all, the reception was open. But a very charming lady said, well, actually, we're closed, but, you know, can we help you? And this was when they were reconfiguring Coin Rock.
Yeah.
But then someone
well,
said,
done
well,
a beautiful
how
job.
Did you manage to get all the way across on, I said, I didn't drink. I actually didn't taste.
You can't really.
And people, you know, Kanonkop said, surely you're tasting. No. And then I said, do you ever have a bad year? And they said, no. And I said,
Kanonkop have never had a bad year, I don't think.
And I turned and walked out, and I think they were thinking I didn't like them. But then getting all the way across to Meerlust, and, you know, and this was wintry.
Our darling Hannes.
And going, and then the wolf hounds, I think, were sitting by the fire,
oh, no, it's
which
gorgeous.
People talk about.
Do you
but
know
you
what
should do
else
that route.
You need to know? Everybody needs to remember another name before we have to say goodbye. Is Oldenburg. Have you been to Oldenburg?
No, but I've drunk their wines.
So yeah. Oldenburg have produced, in my opinion, some of the smartest wines in the last couple of years that I've tasted for a long time. Their winemaker, Nico, I'm going to grab him, drag him,
careful.
Screaming and kicking, to the studio and interview him. He's the cutest little guy. But he did, I think, 3 or 4 years at, wait for it, Chateau Angelus.
Ooh.
And just along the top there where Oldenburg is, if you like me and you love the what's in the sand more than what's in the cellar, It's the perfect place for growing Cabernet Franc. And Chateau Angelus is the best, the most famous Cabernet Franc in the world. So here we've got the soil that is absolutely top, top, top draw. And the winemaker who comes from Cabernet Franc royalty.
Perfect.
It's a bit of a no-brainer. Hmm. Oldenburg Cab Franc. Oldenburg anything, actually. The wines are lovely. I nearly forgot about Oldenburg, but you have to try Oldenburg.
And this is where there are names that are perhaps not sexy.
People don't really know about.
They don't know. That's why they've got to talk to you.
Yes.
And dig in and try and drink something different because we're spoilt for choice.
Oh, we've got fabulous wine in this country. Next year, we're going to have to do a competition or something that somebody's got to come up with the best way to promote South African wine. How are we going to do it? Because it's special and we're lucky and it's not just privilege and it's legacy. It is a 300, nearly 400-year-old legacy that our forefathers gave to us.
But why can't we get hold of the government and educate them?
We're going to get hold of Paul Mashatile doesn't know it. But I'm getting hold of him early next year. He is actually a friend. He knows. He does know it. We have to. We have to make a plan.
People like Tokyo Sequoia used to own part of Constantia Aitzig. And people like him, significant figures in the ANC and government, surely they can be ambassadors.
Patrice bought... Hidden Valley. Patrice has bought a farm.
Has he?
Might be Hidden Valley. All right.
And Hidden Valley, that's part of that Golden Triangle.
Now, we've got a lot to shout about. The wine industry, as you quite rightly say, fuels and feeds so much of the South African GDP. It really does, and it deserves to be stroked and kissed and put to bed with a kiss on its forehead every night from all of us.
But the Australians can teach us something, and I hate to say it.
Can they?
Yes.
I don't know.
Because they have produced wine in volume.
Well, they put that big company together, that South Pacific.
Precisely, run by a South African.
Yes.
and South Africa still hasn't got an icon like
a
Penfolds or
do?
Something like that.
We're going to get hold of Tim Hutchinson.
Yes.
He's the person to do that.
And he's meant to have retired, but
he should never
retire with all that knowledge.
No, he's way too dynamic to retire. We're going to take him for lunch and we're going to put together the biggest, most successful wine company in the world next year.
Promise.
Done. Jeremy, I love you. Thank you for coming back. We could have talked for another hour, but I think the stats say that people start getting bored of a podcast after about 40 minutes or something.
Uh-oh.
So thank you very much. It's always fun. It really is.
My pleasure. And to your audience, we wish you all a festive season.
A very Merry Christmas.
But drink lots of good wine carefully.
Lots of South African wine. At home. Yeah. James, thank you very much. This is all we've got here for today, actually. Happy Christmas.
To you.
Thank you.